Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Rajiv Khanna here for immigration.com. Today is Thursday, December 24th, 2009. We are recording this call, a community conference call. If you folks do not want your voice to be recorded, please hang up. And also, if possible, keep your identity confidential. There is no need to advertise who you are. You can make up a name if you want. This call is merely a courtesy to advise community generally. This does not mean we have agreed to represent you or that you have agreed to be represented by us. Let me get started with the questions real quickly. The first question is from Sayona. They want to know what is the procedure, exit procedure at the Detroit airport. Well, here is my advice to you. As far as I know, that procedure was implemented. The biometric exit procedure was implemented. But the easiest thing to do is to just call CBP, Customs and Border Patrol. Just call CBP, www.cbp.gov, and ask them if they can give you any information. If they are not able to give you any information, then only then call USCIS General Inquiry. Normally, CBP I have found them to be a lot more helpful for general questions than any other government agency that we deal with in immigration. Okay? Next question, fgoyal.libra, who says, right now I'm working for a non-profit company. It's a state job as an IT professional on OPT. If I apply for H-1B visa with a non-profit company, and later on I want to switch for a profit company, can I transfer? Well, hang on one second. First of all, you are mistaken if you think that all non-profit companies are exempt from H-1 quota. They are not. You have to be a non-profit research or a non-profit education. And this information is on our website. If you go to my blog and look under H-1, I think I have noted this down. It should also be in the frequently asked questions on immigration.com. So not all non-profits, including state jobs, are quota exempt. So you are assuming that you are quota exempt. You may not be. And from what you are telling me, an IT professional working for the state government, it does not look like you are on a quota exempt job. Assuming you are on a quota exempt job, if you are on a quota exempt job, you cannot transfer to a quota job unless the H-1 quota is available. Okay? You cannot. You can only go to another non-profit research or education or another quota exempt job. Second question, if I apply for my new H-1, can I keep working for my current employer until I start work for a profit company? Well, first of all, I think your question is this. Can I continue working on OPT? At what point do I have to stop working? Well, that depends. There are a couple of things. First of all, you have to stop working. You cannot work any longer the moment your F-1 is converted to H-1, which means change of status. But you can apply for an H-1 without applying for a change of status, which basically means this. You will get an H-1 approval, but you have to go outside USA to get a visa stamp or to reapply for an H-1 to get change of status. Okay? So you can work on it that way. Just remember, the trigger is in the change of status. Okay? When you change from F-1 to H-1, you can no longer work on F-1 if your H-1 status has kicked in. Number three, if I decide not to work with the profit company, after my H-1B visa gets approved, can I continue working with my current employer? No, it depends upon the change of status situation. The answer is still the same. If you have asked for change of status and you got it, you are no longer on F-1. F-1 is gone. But if you only ask for H-1 approval, not for change of status, then you can continue working, no problem. Is there any way I can transfer from non-profit to profit company instead of applying for a new H-1B? There is no such thing. A transfer of an H-1, an H-1B extension, and a new H-1 are all three of them pretty much the same application. Number five, is green card processing time less for state employees? No, sir, it is not. You go through the same categories that are available to everybody else. Next question, Singh SS. Currently on H-1B visa, 6 years is expiring on February 10th of next year. Green card labor filed in September 2009. Okay. Planning to switch to F-1. Need to know if law will permit to switch from F-1 to H-1 once 365 days are over. No, sir. You have to be outside USA for full 1 year if you want to convert back to H-1. Merely converting to F-1 and staying on F-1 for 1 year does not reset your H-1 clock. Next question, GC immigration. I used substitute labor EB-3 and applied for I-140, I-485. I-140 got approved. Then applied for EB-2, got the I-140 approved. Applied to port the priority date from EB-3 to EB-2. Yes, your priority date should be 2005 because you asked for... that's right. I don't understand what your question is because your understanding is correct. You have an EB-2 I-140 and your EB-3 is 2005 PD. You have asked for that transfer. That should be fine. Actually, interestingly enough, now what INS is doing is they are actually automatically giving you the earliest priority date of your eligibility. So even if you had not asked for a porting of priority date from EB-3 to EB-2, they should have, under their own procedures, given you the earliest priority date to which you are eligible. Okay? Next question, Z Khan. Interview completed supervisory approval. Ms. Khan went for an approval for an interview, and they were told that a supervisor needs to review the case. Now, they are concerned, what does it mean? Well, supervisory review can occur in one of the two circumstances that I can think of. One, they plan to deny the case. That may not be necessarily true. It may very well be number two, which is there is a question of law or fact involved, which the frontline adjudicator was not familiar with. So if there is something unusual about your case, they want to confirm with their supervisor before they let you know. As far as I know, that's the way it works, Mr. Khan. And happy holidays to you too. Next question. Promotion on H-1 after I-140 approval. Here is the problem. This gentleman or lady has got an approval for an I-140 under quality lead. Okay. The vice president of the division intends to promote him to quality manager with almost the same job description responsibility. Will this promotion cause any issue with my GC process? Well, sir, or ma'am, this is a very difficult question for me to answer. You need to get together with your lawyer and assess. This could have serious repercussions for your green card. You want to make sure that this promotion does not carry you outside the ambit of your green card so that you might have to do your green card all over again. Okay? And for H-1 or for green card, you cannot include benefits in your salary. So medical insurance premiums, etc., are not to be included in the salary. Next question, Tanska. Case 6 years H-1B over, extension denied twice. What are my options? Well, in your case, what has happened is that your 6 years are over, your 45 is pending since September 2007, and because you could not get an end client letter or something, they denied your H-1 twice. Now, if new H-1B petition does not get approved, what are my options? They apply again, fourth time, or wait till I get my EAD? Yes, both of those options are available. You can apply a fourth time, and you should also wait till you get your EAD. Number two, if another employer wishes to apply my H-1B, would it be considered an extension? It doesn't really matter. Don't worry about it, but it can be done, and it would not be under quota. Okay? So I don't know about what you mean by 30-day grace period. There is no such grace period anywhere. You mean they have allowed you to leave USA in 30 days. That's not a grace period. That's just a period to leave. But since you are on adjustment of status pending, you could apply for an H-1. At the most, you might have to go get a visa stamping from outside USA, which is not the end of the world. So your new employer can apply for an H-1B, and they can ask for an extension. If I get H-1B approved through a new employer, does it impact my green card? No, as long as either you do an AC-21, which means you're getting a similar job, or you have a way of proving without any doubt that you intend to come back to the old employer when you get your green card. AC-21 is the better option. If I choose to work on EAD for same employer for now, can later sometimes I change my employer by asking for new H-1B? Yes, sir. You can go back to H-1B even after having used the EAD. And the way to do that is you get your H-1 approval, go outside USA, get your visa stamp, and come back. And don't worry about dual intent. H-1B is immune from that problem. Number five, does AC-21 law allow me to act on points 2 and 4 above? And the answer is yes, and I have already commented on that. Next question, Psi-4GC. Regarding two I-140s from separate companies, Company A applied for labor I-140 and 485. I-140 denied because of qualifications problems. Joint Company B, still working with Company B, labor and I-140 approved. Now Company A got new labor approved, applied for I-140 EB2. My question is, does the Company A approval of I-140 have any impact on the approved Company B's I-140? The answer is no, sir, it does not. You should not have any problem from that regard. As soon as, as long as you have an intention to take up either job, Company A or Company B's, as long as that good faith intention is there, you can process two green cards separately. It should not be a problem. Next question, Deep Sony H-1B extension dash travel. My H-1B first third year ends on 29th April 2010. I intend to come back in February 2010. So the question is, how many days before my visa expiration can I enter? There is no problem even if you enter one day before your visa expiration. Of course, February to April, that's comfortable time. There should not be any problem coming back into U.S. Am I okay to travel on current H-1B visa and I-94 valid till 29th April and return in mid-February? Yes, sir. Should I file for an extension before I leave the country? Yeah, why not? Why not? You should file an extension also because you can apply for an extension 6 months ahead of time. Might as well do it, you know, before you leave. And if the extension gets approved by your ICE outside the country, it does not affect you at all. There is no problem. Okay? SF Sara has a question about conditional green card through marriage. What are the rights? Well, I have a conditional green card through marriage expires in January. We are going through a divorce. Ex-husband will not be willing to file any papers. I have received advice from USCIS that I can remain past the expiration date. You know, a couple of months ago, there was a memo from USCIS, and it should be on their website, where they discussed this issue in great detail. Earlier, the rule used to be that if you are undergoing a divorce and your divorce is not yet final, you could not file a form I-751 without a divorce singly. You needed both signatures, husband and wife. But if your divorce was already final when you filed 751, you would then have no problem filing singly. Okay? I think they've changed that. So you may want to take a look at it. I don't remember off the top of my head what the change in procedure was, but some things have changed. You might be able to file your I-751, and I think you should anyway. In time, file it as singly undergoing divorce and see what happens. Otherwise, they will put you in deportation. Then you'll have to go before an immigration judge and file your I-751, which I find is a very odd procedure. I don't see why you should have to go through a deportation hearing in order to be able to get your I-751 adjudicated. So my advice is go ahead, review that memorandum, ideally get yourself a lawyer if you can. Locally, somebody that you are, you know, familiar with, somebody you can trust. Get yourself somebody locally where you are. Let them take care of the 751 issue. I think 751 should be filed if the law permits, and I think it does. And if then nothing else works out, then you can always go before an immigration judge. Okay? Finally, if they choose to start deportation proceedings, is there any option to leave the country by motor? Yes, of course. You can get voluntary departure. You should be able to get voluntary departure as well in most of these cases. However, like I said, where the marriage was entered into for genuine reasons, not to try to in any way circumvent immigration laws, and later on things did not work out, it should not be a problem. You should be allowed to keep your green card. Okay? Next question, which N? H-1 or ED-5? Currently on the fourth year of H-1, employer delayed green card. I'm a chemical engineer, husband's I-140 has been filed. My question is, I'm thinking of starting my own web-based service. I have a creative idea on how to start one. I don't have a background in website design. I'll be hiring a specialist to do that and manage all website-related content. Can I do that while on my H-1? This is a very, very tough question to answer. There is so much going on here. Department of Labor takes the view that you cannot do an H-1 through a company owned by yourself. At least one time in the past 5 years, they've taken that view. I've not seen anything that has shown me that they've changed their mind. INS went flip-flopped. INS used to say, you can't do it. Oh, no, they used to say, you can do it. Then for a few years, they said, you cannot do it. Beginning 2008, I have seen rulings from INS that permit you to have an H-1 through your own company. So it's a very complicated issue. You may want to either have a consultation with a lawyer separately, or, they might be able to figure out to help you set up a business model that would not offend immigration laws, or at least they'll be able to warn you of all implicated dangers. Okay? Should my current employer be informed of it? This is, like I said, this is a tough question. This is a tough question. But if you have another partner like MNC, you said you could partner with the company MNC, that might be a better way to do it. But having a self-owned company and doing an H-1 through it can create certain issues that you want to be familiar with. Okay? So my suggestion, get yourself a lawyer and get this issue explored in detail with them. Next question, IMITAP. Change of employer, change status from H-1 to EAD. Software consultant working on H-1B since 1999. Changed employer once in 2003. Working for the same client, same duty, same project for 8 years. Second employer filed my labor I-140/485. Valid EAD. Labor approved, job title, computer systems analyst. Client is offering a position. Job title, computer support specialist. Can the new job title, see the work is the same, but job titles are different. Well, is this considered to be similar under AC21? In my view, job description is much more important than job title. Okay? But systems analyst and database administrators appear to be completely different titles. Computer support specialist also appears to be very different. But I cannot go by title alone. You want to actually get a lawyer involved. This is a very important benefit. Don't mess with it. Get yourself a lawyer. Let them take a look at the two job descriptions / titles. Make sure they are similar. And only then go forward with it. But if you ask me one question about what is more important, job title or job description, the answer is unequivocally, it is the job description that is more important. I really don't care that much about the job title. Okay. However, when the job titles are so different that they actually raise eyebrows, for example, like I said, analyst and administrator are two totally different job titles, or even computer support specialist. Somebody will have to sit down and look at the job description very carefully. Okay. Next question, Raji MG, H-1 transfer and H-1/H-4. If I get a job and I apply for my H-1B transfer premium, when can I resign? You can resign any time after the application, any time. Because once your new application is filed, that means you are in authorized period of stay, and if you want, you can join the new employer who is doing your H-1 to H-1 transfer, or you can sit at home and wait for the H-1 to be decided. Okay? Is there a grace period of when I can join? Yes, you can. Here's the interesting thing. Let's say your H-1 was applied on 17th of December. And the case is pending. You continue working for the same employer. And let's say on January 31st, your case gets approved. You can actually still continue working with the old employer. If you have a good reason, for example, you're finishing up a project, you could ask for an unpaid leave of absence from the new employer. Do it in writing, because that way they are protected as well. So you could wait as long as you wanted to, maybe a month, 2 months, even 6 months. I wouldn't go beyond maybe 2-3 months, because it makes it a little bit difficult for INS to understand how the new employer can have a job and still wait for you for so long. Okay? If my wife applies for H-4, can she resign from her current job and wait for the H-4 to come? Yes. Will she be in status? She'll be in authorized period of stay. Read my blog. Read my blog. I've discussed this issue of what is an authorized period of stay. So she can. If she files for an H-4 today, she can resign her job tomorrow, as long as INS has received her application, and she can sit at home and wait for the H-4 approval. If while the H-4 approval is being waited upon, she gets another job, she can apply for another H-1B, but she will probably have to go outside USA to get a stamping. Because, you see, when you are in authorized period of stay, you don't have full status. So INS is unlikely to give her full status of H-1 when she is in authorized period of stay. They can, but they usually don't. Next question is DL Ime Weather wants to know, fiance is in Saudi Arabia. We are getting married in Philippines, which is her home. Can we apply for her visa in either place? I'm not sure what kind of visa you are applying for. Okay, I'm assuming that you are a U.S. citizen. But in any case, it should not make much of a difference whether you apply in Philippines or in Saudi Arabia. I personally prefer Saudi Arabia simply because the volume of applications is going to be a lot lesser. But overall, it should not be the end of the world. See, a person can apply for a visa from where they live or from where they are, you know, from where they are a citizen of. So if somebody is staying in Saudi Arabia for a long-term project of some kind or going to school, they could apply for a green card or a visa from Saudi Arabia also. So either one is okay. I think Saudi Arabia may be a little quicker, but it's hard to say. Next question, Rajdeep Singhan, AC21, similar job. Rajdeep wants to know what similar jobs means under AC21. And I've just gone over this issue a second ago. Old title was Program Analyst, new title is Business Analyst. These are very close titles. This is a mixed question of law and fact. This is not something I can put any contours or any outline on. The bottom line is, it is the job description we look to. If the job description is similar, I think we are fine. Okay? And I do think you should request, you've asked me, should I request the attorney to do the review? Yes, you should. Can I hire your firm to do this matching? Sure, absolutely. Technically, we are going to be closed till January 3rd. So unless you're an existing client of the firm, you will not have access to anybody. If you're an existing client of the firm, you would have been able to post a message on our intranet, on our extranet, which is forclients.com or clients.organization.com. But in any case, we won't be available till after, until in the first week of January. So if you want to send us an email through the contact us form, do it. I'll see who can contact you in the holidays if it's urgent. Normally we don't treat these cases as urgent, so we won't be able to talk to you until the first week of January. Okay? Next question, Pam DeLeo. Question is regarding I-751 timeline. I've received my 1-year extension, but I have not received my fingerprint appointment. Well, what you should do is, contact USCIS customer service, see what's going on, and if that doesn't work, then contact your congressman's office and have them look into this case. Contact your congressman's office. If you want to know how to contact congressmen, you can go to our website, immigration.com. You can do a search for congressman, just the word congressman, and it'll come up. CONGRESSMAN. Okay? Next question, AC21 portability. I am planning to use AC21 portability for my new job. This is Krishnu15 Srini. I do not have enough information on my current job role and responsibilities from my current employer. My new job are a little different but similar to the code I see on my label. Can I still accept this offer? Shini, that is very dangerous. You need to have a complete job description, job title, etc. of your labor certification. If nothing else, if you can't get information from any other source, file a Privacy Act request with the INS. Usually, Privacy Act requests, the forms are on INS website. It's a form that doesn't require any filing fees. The idea of a Privacy Act request is, by the way, the form is called Freedom of Information Act / Privacy Act request, I-569-39, something like that. I forget the name, the number. It's I something in some hundreds. It's 4, 5, 600, somewhere in that number. So go to the INS website, look under the forms. There should be a form for Freedom of Information Act / Privacy Act request. Find that. Usually you can get a complete copy of your paperwork. INS gives it to you within a few weeks, and they do it free. Okay? But do not accept the offer without knowing what the jobs are and whether they are similar or not. Next question is, this is a tough one. I do not know the answer to this question. OPT extension is pending. What do I do? Can I change employers? I think your best bet is to contact USCIS. Contact USCIS. If the school is not helping, you have the right instinct. Contact USCIS. Their customer service should be able to help you with the OPT extension issue. The problem is, the way I see it is that technically you can change, but the OPT extension is based upon a job offer. A job is in STEM field, that kind of job offer. So USCIS has not developed any procedures on what to do, but they may have some informal way of changing the employers on your extension. The best way to do that is through the customer service, see what they suggest. And if they don't help you, have your new employer contact their congressman's office. Okay? They should be able to get this taken care of. DJ76 wants to know, I've got my green card in July 2007, and I have not left the country. So you had your green card for 2 years and some months, about 2.5 years. In Jan 2010, 2.5 years of continuous physical presence criteria will be fulfilled. Planning to leave country for family reasons. Well, wait a minute. Remember one thing. If you leave your permanent residence in the United States, they can refuse to give you citizenship. And they can even take away your green card. Be very careful with this. Okay? The general rule is no stay outside USA for more than 1 year. If you stay outside USA for more than 1 year, you are back to square one for citizenship. You have to do everything all over again. 2 or 2.5 years of physical presence all over again. Okay? If your stay is less than 1 year but more than 6 months, they will ask for an explanation. And if they see that you have lost your domicile and your green card in USA, you've just gone, they could decline your citizenship. Okay? And if your visit abroad is less than 6 months and you maintain your permanent residence in the United States, that's not a problem. But if you do it as a pretext, which is, go away for 4 months, come for 10 days, then go away again for 4 months, this would be a problem. Okay? So I don't think this is a very good way to do things. You should definitely continue to have your permanent residence and permanent home in USA until you get your citizenship. Once you get your citizenship, you can do whatever you want. Okay? Next question, IMQ7, L1B to L1A conversion. Came to USA on L1B, promoted to a managerial position. Can I do an L1B to L1A conversion? Definitely. Can I still file GC under EB1? I don't remember all the issues in this, but I think you can. But you can definitely go for L1A conversion. Then there's no question about that. Okay. Next question, Bahara. I'm currently on L2 visa, which is valid till October 2010. I also have an EAD. Now, there was, before L2, you also had an H1 visa for an employer, and the visa got expired in April 2009. Do I have to go through the CAP again? No, you do not, because you earlier had an H-1. Unless, after getting the H-1, you were physically outside USA for more than 1 year, you are not subject to the CAP. Can I apply for H-1B visa with change of status? Yes, why not? If my H-1B petition approved by March 2010, from April, can I start working on H-1B visa? Sure, absolutely. Is there anything to worry about for visa stamping? Well, that's difficult for me to say because I don't see any reason to worry unless there is something to worry in the H-1 petition itself. For example, if you're working for a client site and your employer does not have any access to a client letter, etc., consulates often ask for documents like that, or you don't have a proper degree. All those things could come up in the visa processing. Otherwise, I don't see any specific things to worry about. Okay? All right, folks, I'm done with my questions. That took us only a half hour. That was pretty good. Let me see if I can answer any follow-up questions for you folks. Hang on one second. You can ask me a question by pressing *6. Press *6 on your phone.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Tom here.
Yes, sir.
I have a question regarding my situation. I am in my current 6th year of H-1.
Okay. Yours is a new question. Can I ask you to hold 1 second, please?
Sure.
Okay, folks, anybody who has already posted a question and has a follow-up clarification on their question, go ahead.
Yes, Rajiv.
*6. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. Rajiv.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah,
just make up a name so I can call on you.
Yes, Santosh here.
Santosh, go ahead.
Yes, Rajiv, you answered my question with ID Singh SS. Basically, I was asking, can I come back to H status now that I'm moving from F to H? Can I come back to H status again, subjected to my 365 days rule of labor?
Right, you have to be, and I said you have to be physically outside USA for 1 year.
But it means my labor petition is not going to help me to come back that 365.
Oh, it does. If you are asking me that, of course, that is a totally different question.
Okay. So I think, go ahead.
What I understood your question to be was this. No question about labor cert. What if I have an H-1, then 6 years expire, and I go to F-1 for 366 days? Can I come back to H-1? The answer is no.
Now, correct.
Your question is, if while I'm on F-1, my labor cert reaches its first anniversary of pendency or approval, then
right.
Can I get an H-1 extension? Sure, absolutely, because that's a different basis.
Right.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, you can come back on H-1, no problem.
And I'm hoping that if labor processing time improves, right now it is, I believe, slightly improving, maybe I will be able to get 3 years extension if by that time I have I-140 done on premium processing, maybe.
That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. I posted a question with you. Just a question regarding that quality lead and quality manager thing. When I joined this company on H1, my designation was quality lead. And
designation was what? I'm sorry?
Designation was quality lead.
Okay.
But the job description was framed such a way that the salary was lower. And then the EB2 was filed with the same designation, but with a different job description, so that it goes under EB2. Now, what I'm wondering is that going to be a problem, like having the same designation but different job description?
I get very uncomfortable with lawyers who suggest to people that they should manipulate their job descriptions just to get a different salary level. To me, that's very unethical. The job should be presented just the way it is. Of course, you can change the presentation, but if you're changing the presentation, make sure the facts change also. If I say I'm offering you a job as a quality lead, then I make sure you are doing the job of a quality lead, not the job of a quality assurance director. Okay? So whenever there is discrepancy in what you are supposed to be doing under the H-1 and the green card and the titles are the same, INS can always raise an issue about it. So to answer your question, can this be an issue? Sure, it can be an issue. And these days, USCIS does look into the cases in great detail. They can often raise a question, you know, here you have a title under H1, which is the same title and the same job description, but, you know, there are all these discrepancies in the two jobs. They can ask you those questions.
Thank you.
Okay, good luck. Folks, anybody else who has already posted their question? All right, sir. You were asking me a question, H1 6 years over. What was going on with that?
Yes, sir. My question is, my present employer has applied for labor in January of this year.
Okay.
And I got a notification from him saying that there was an audit on my case.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. My H1, 6 year H1 will be ending on September 30th of next year.
Okay.
So my question was, can I extend my into seventh year? And also, I have eight months of vacation outside U.S.
Okay.
In all the 5 years I've stayed on H1 here.
Okay.
How can I reclaim them if I have to file an extension?
What you will do is, any time now, if you want to do it right now, or any time immediately in the next few weeks, you can file for an H1 extension. And your H1 extension will be for 1 year and 8 months. You will recapture your 8 months as well as get the 1 year based upon your labor search tendency.
Okay. How should I prove that I am outside 8 months? I only have my passport with stamps. I don't have the
To do this. I don't remember the details, sir, of how we do it, but our office has its own procedures. But typically, if nothing else, we get an affidavit from our clients describing the details. You'll be surprised. You might have a lot more documentation than you think you do. So,
okay.
Nothing else, provide a copy of your passport that has entry exit stamp and provide an affidavit from yourself and see what happens.
And on top of that, sir, I have another question regarding the same thing.
Sure.
I was offered another job while I was waiting for my labor with my current employer. So
right.
I haven't responded to that yet.
Right.
So should I take up that offer and have my H1 transfer to that company and ask them to reclaim my 8 months remaining so that I can apply a new labor with them? Would that be a good situation, or am I complicating things?
The way I would do it is, I would ask the new employer to file for an H1 of 1 year 8 months.
Okay.
Because even though the labor cert was filed to the current employer, the future employer can take benefit of it and apply for 1 year extension. So, 1 year 8 months can be applied for either employer. Okay.
Okay.
And
so
once you receive the H1 is approved, do it premium processing. Once it's approved, and you leave the current employer, INS usually does not take away the extension that they have already given you, even if the current employer withdraws the labor certificate.
So can I start the both process parallelly with my current employer as my future employer if I want to?
You can start both processes. You can do an H1 extension as well as a transfer to a different employer.
I just don't want to INS have,
There is nothing illegal about it.
Right, because I don't want them have some kind of red flags in their system saying this guy got an audit and he's
broken. Any red flag, it is legal to do so. Don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah, because I don't want to be in some situation, just stay with my current employer, and after 2 years they come back and say we audited your case and we don't approve your labor. Then I have to go back.
I don't understand that concern, because once you leave the current employer, they'll probably withdraw their labor cert. Right.
They do. I'm saying, just in case if I don't take up my
offer. I don't see anything illegal at all about this situation. Do whatever you want to. It's perfectly fine. Even if somebody wants to go back and review your case history, there isn't anything illegal about it, any of this. So as long as you're doing things legally, don't be worried at all.
Okay. So if I file extension with my current employer and ask the other employer to do a transfer, and later if I change my mind and stay with my current employer, is that okay?
That's perfectly okay as well, as long as you don't sign any contract. As far as immigration law is concerned, you can do it absolutely either way. You can stay with the same employer and reject the H-1 of the new employer, or you can go with the new employer and reject the H-1 of the current employer. That's perfectly okay as far as immigration law is concerned. But just as a matter of general practice, if the new employer makes you sign a contract, and you know, they can come after you for breach of contract.
Okay. So, sir, with my current employer, he said they can do only extensions in 6 months before the expiry. Is that true, or can I do the extension
right
now?
Yeah, but your H-1 is already expiring in January, right?
No, in September of 2010.
In September of 2010, then you apply 6 months ahead. They are right. You will apply 6 months ahead, which is about February.
Right. February, March.
Yes.
So I can't do it until that time.
Oh, you can't. Sorry, for some reason I thought it was coming January, it was expiring. If it's expiring in September, your employer is correct. It's 6 months ahead.
Then with my future employer, should I ask him to start the process of transfer now itself? Or
they
should
can.
I wait until?
They can. They can apply for 1 year, 8 months right now.
And while this process is in play,
they should be able to get you up to September plus another year plus 8 months. They should be able to get all of that for you. So they should be able to get you to September, which is about 8 months, plus 8 months that you were outside, 16 plus 1 year. So they should be able to get you 20, how much was that? 16 plus 12, 28 months. As long as it's more than 36 months, it's no problem.
So, sir, you're saying they can also do my 1 year extension?
Yes, sir.
Based on my LC with current employer?
Because your LC was filed back in January, right?
Right.
So by the time the new extension is applied, it'll already be 12 months of the labor cert going on. So that way you can get your extension, 1 year extension as well. So anytime in January, if they apply, they should be able to get you your H-1 extension for 28 months.
All right. If they are based on my LC of my current employer, should I stick to it or should I start a new LC process with the future employer?
You should start a new LC as well.
Okay. So only for extension I can use my current LC process. But once I join the new company, I have to start another new LC.
You should, because unless you have the intention of joining the old employer back, which does not appear to be very likely,
right.
I think you are better off starting a new labor.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Folks, anybody else?
Good afternoon, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Rajiv. It's Sachin.
Sachin, go ahead.
Rajiv,
Sachin first. Sachin, go ahead.
Thanks, Rajiv. Quick question. I am actually a U.S. citizen, and my father has a green card, but due to some different family reasons, he has not been able to stay in U.S. for more than 6-7 months. He has taken 2 times re-entry permit, and it's more than 5 years now. Somebody told me it's already been 5 years. He kept the green card, and if he keeps doing that every year, he comes back. Eventually, his green card will be canceled.
Eventually, they'll take away his green card, but that's not a problem. You can always apply for a green card again whenever he's ready to come back.
Okay, so
just like you did the first time. As a U.S. citizen, you can get his green card back again within a year anytime.
So there is no problem whenever he wants to come back?
There is no problem. Even after surrender of his green card, he can get his green card back again anytime.
Or should he apply for a multi-year visa while he doesn't want to come back, like within every
it's
year?
It's very unlikely that they'll give him a tourist visa. Very unlikely, because you've held an H-1 before. See, consulates are very unpredictable. The way I look at it, Sachin, is this. If I have given up my green card, isn't that the ultimate proof that I don't want to live in USA? But consulates often say, no, the fact that you had a green card before, now we won't give you a tourist visa because you are an intended immigrant.
Okay. Okay, but he can apply for a green card, and there is good reason that he will get approved for
there
it again.
There is no reason why they will take him stop. As long as he has never lied to the government and he's kept everything honest, they can't stop him from getting green card.
Okay, so they cannot keep that against him that you didn't stay here for 5 years and now you want to take the green card again.
No problem at all. It happens all the time.
Okay, so do you suggest him keep coming to U.S. Till they actually force him?
I don't like that idea. I think he should go to the consulate, surrender his green card.
Okay.
If he's not planning to live here, why keep it? Let him surrender it. Then when he's ready to come, and he can apply for a tourist visa. If they deny him, no big deal. He can get a green card whenever he wants. Whenever he's sure he wants to come and live here, you apply for a visa.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks, Raju.
Good luck.
Good afternoon, Raju. This is BC Immigration.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Actually, I used the substitute EB3 labor and applied I-140 I-485.
Right.
And I got I-140 approved, and I am on EAD right now.
Right.
And after that, I applied EB2 labor in 2007. I got labor approved and I-140 approved.
Right. No, I understand EB2 your question.
Sir,
don't repeat your question. Yes. I understand your question. I already said that you are entitled to the earliest priority date of 2005. No problem there.
Yes.
What else do you want to know? What else do you want?
I need that when they approved, they didn't give the priority date of EB3. They gave the EB2 date only.
Well, you can go and get it corrected from them. But as I also said, these days they automatically do
it.
Even if they have not done it, they should still give you the benefit of the 2005 priority date whenever the turn comes. However, if you are uncomfortable with this, you can go ahead and ask them to issue you a new I-140 approval.
Okay. And one more question, Raju. RFC, how many days it is going to take to clear that?
Depends. If the case was filed premium processing, RFEs take only a couple of weeks. If it was non-premium, maybe a couple of months.
Because it came on I-485 actually, and I responded to that in July.
That's too long.
I looked on the website, still it is showing that I submitted the case, still they are watching or whatever it may be. So how can I know that my attorney is going to get the...
Do an inquiry through your congressman.
Okay.
Good luck, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else has any questions?
Hi, Raji.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Sai. My question number is 9, and I want to add one further question on that one.
Sure.
So, the old employer applied EB2, and if some reason, if anything happens to that, so can we use the same labor to apply EB3 on that one?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't use a labor side of an employer unless you're working with them. And can the same labor cert be used to apply for EB3? It depends upon the language of the labor cert.
Okay.
Because it depends upon the draft. I'll give you an example. Let's say I have a case in which I have a 3-year bachelor's degree, and then I have a 2-year master's degree.
Okay.
But I have my doubts whether this case will get approved under EB2 or not. Okay. So what I do is I put some protective language in the labor certification where I say employer will accept 3+2 degree pattern instead of a master's degree. Now what happens is INS comes back and says, well, he doesn't qualify for master's because his total education is 5 years, not 6 years. Then I say, fine. I put in the labor certification itself that I will accept 3+2 pattern. That means if you're not going to give me EB2 under your definition, you have to give me EB3 under my definition.
Okay. So you mean to say that if the language suits, we can change from EB3 to EB3.
We do it all the time.
I
have many cases, especially with 3-year degrees, where I have to put in the protective language to make sure that the regulatory requirements are complied with from both EB3 and EB2 side. So if for some reason my EB2 fails, I take a copy of the same labor cert and get an EB3 done.
Okay. Thank you very much. And one general question. If anyone travels on AP when he was on H-1B still, does he automatically goes into AOI status?
No. That is very old point of view. Since 2005 or so, INS has held the point of view that you are still on H-1 even though you entered on advanced parole. And the details of this are, they should be either on my blog. Just do a search for Cronin. C as in Charlie, R-O-N as in Nancy, I-N as in Nancy. Cronin, that's the name of the guy who wrote that memorandum.
Okay.
Just do a search for Cronin, And it should also be there on immigration.com. So it should be in my blog as well as on immigration.com.
Okay, thank you. So it's no problem that if you go on, use AP and come back and still working with the same employer.
Yeah,
so
you are still on H1. You are still
on
H1.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you very much, Rajiv.
You are welcome.
And happy holidays to you.
To you too, sir. Good luck.
Thank you.
Folks, anybody else?
Hi, Rajiv. Sachin again. Just the last one more question.
Sure. Go ahead.
As I said, my father already applied for reentry permit twice. Is there a limit on reentry permit to
you
apply?
You can apply another one. I mean, I've known people to get 3 or 4 reentry permits.
Really?
A little bit of a drag. Every time he has to come, he has to apply for a reentry permit, wait for his biometrics to be done, because now there is biometrics involved. Wait for his biometrics to be done, then leave U.S.
Okay. And how much time usually takes biometrics?
A few months. I think about 3 months for the biometrics. But if you have an urgency, then they'll do it in a few weeks. I'm making a guess of these figures because I don't remember, nor do I get involved in details at this level. Other members of our team do those things. But from what I know, approximately that's the right time frame.
Okay. So there has been cases where people get green card a second time, because I'm just worried if he give up once,
it's
if he cannot.
No problem. It is. If it was my own father, I would probably do that.
Okay.
There is absolutely no problem. This is perfectly legal.
Okay.
There is nothing illegal about it. As long as we don't lie to the government about anything, and we have none, I don't see any reason why they can withhold my second green card. They cannot.
Okay. Just tell them why he's giving up the green card this time.
There's no explanation necessary.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Rajiv. Happy holidays.
You too, sir. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hi, Rajiv. Hello, Mr. Rajiv. I had a question number 8.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So changing employers while after the 6 years pending OS status, EC21 is what you recommended to use, but do we need to inform the government or INS about the new employer and?
As a general rule, I think it's a good idea, but I have a very detailed write-up on this on my blog, whether you should inform the government or not. As a general rule, I think it's a good idea to inform the government.
Okay, and the descriptions, and the new employer is giving me a managerial role, but pretty much the job descriptions are the same, so do you think that
It's hard for me to comment like this. It's like asking a doctor to diagnose a patient without looking at the patient. I mean, you can call your doctor and say, you know what, the patient is looking very yellow. Well, you know, that's not good enough. I have to see the patient myself. What you need to do is, you need to get yourself a lawyer. Let them file your AC-21 and represent you. Your current lawyer can do that. They can file your AC-21. They can continue to represent you. Just make sure it's been looked at by a legal professional, somebody who's competent. Let them take a look at it, and if they feel comfortable with the AC-21, go for it.
Okay.
Hi,
Rajiv. Okay.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Can I ask you one more question? This is Sai.
Yes, Sai. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, there's a continuation to the next question, which is a general question. You just answered me regarding the AP, coming back on AP and the H-1 validity.
Sure.
When you come back on AP, so they're going to give only the I-94 for 1 year, I guess, right? Whatever the
That doesn't matter. Even if the I-94 expires, that doesn't matter. That's one of the loopholes in the immigration process, which has created a lot of complications for people who don't understand what the heck is going on. Here I have only a 1 year I-94 and I'm still working here. Don't worry about that. It's perfectly legal to do that.
As far as you have your H-1 validity I-94, so
yeah,
nothing matters.
You can work to the extent of your H-1 / I-94 H-1 validity.
That's not any legal or
that's perfectly fine. INS has laid that puppy to rest a long time ago.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Folks, anybody else has any questions?
Hi, Rajiv. Sachin again. I'm sorry. The questions keep popping in my mind.
No, Sachin, it's perfect. Okay, go ahead.
So, what is the procedure to give up the green card? Should he do it in India?
Go to the consulate. They'll make him fill out a form, and they'll make him sign something and take his green card.
And should it be done in U.S. or India?
You can do it both ways, but doing it in India is a lot more convenient.
Okay.
Hi, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
This is Santosh. You answered my question number four, wherein I was asking, based on that labor certification, whether my employer will be able to file a seventh-year extension while I will be studying MBA, being in U.S. I'm not leaving USA.
Okay, all right.
So my question for employer is, basically, when would you suggest my employer, the current employer who has filed my labor in September, so right. Next year, when should I ask my employer to file this H-1? And that will be
February.
Definitely not a new H-1, but it will be just a seventh-year extension, isn't
February.
It?
In February.
Say again?
In February, 6 months ahead of time.
Oh, right away after this expiry of a six-year H-1, he can file for a new H-1?
He can file for a new H-1 6 months ahead of the expiration of the current H-1.
Right, but my H-1 is expiring in, as I was explaining, my H-1 is expiring in February 2010.
It's expiring in February 2010, then you can apply right now?
But then I am exhausting my six-year limit, so that is the problem. But
so when was your labor search filed, Santosh?
September 2009.
I'm sorry, when was your labor search filed, sir?
September 2009.
September 2009. So you don't become eligible for H-1 extension till September 2010.
So that's what my question is. Since I am joining MBA school, while my employer is telling that since they have anyway filed this labor certification, they can keep this job offer for me once I am eligible to come back.
Yeah, but no, this is not your issue. Your issue to me, what you're asking me is when can I file for my H-1 extension?
Correct.
And the answer
if I
is,
go, yeah.
Now, let me explain to you. Listen, the answer is you can never apply for an H-1 extension earlier than 6 months ahead of time.
Correct.
Rule number one. Rule number two, you can never apply in your situation for an H-1 extension until 1 year of labor cert pendency is done. Right?
Correct.
Now, your labor cert pendency will be over in September, 1 year will be over in September 2010, correct?
Correct.
So, you could apply in February 2010 for an extension of an H-1, which will kick in September 2010. So, in other words, you can apply in February, but you can't start working on H-1 again until September 2010.
Okay, so that's what my lawyer was telling. They will not able to file for until September. And I was like, is that really true?
No, they are no, not until September. They can file in February.
And that will be old H-1 or a new H-1? Because my old H-1 is really expired in February.
Don't get
right?
bogged down with old and new. These are just definitions. These don't mean anything. The
okay.
idea is your H-1 can be applied for in February, 6 months ahead of September 2010, when mm-hmm. the 1 year of labor cert pendency will be over and you become eligible okay. for your extension. But you will not be able to start working on that H-1 until September 2010.
So while applying for H-1 in February, as you advise, what is the reason my employer is going to give, saying that his labor is filed and we expect
his
him to start
His labor is filed and the kickoff date or the start date of the H-1 is such that on that date he becomes eligible for the extension.
Okay. So okay. they will legally not have any problem that I have not left the country, I have just merely
they
changed
will
the
have,
status.
This is none of their concerns.
Okay. Thank
in
you
fact,
very much again.
In fact, here in my office, my cousin is sitting right next to me. He has exactly the same case. We just got his H-1 extension.
Okay. I will
and
do that.
Bunch of idiotic lawyers were telling him all sorts of things. Most smart lawyers know that this can be done. There is no problem with it.
Right. One of the lawyers which my company contacted, they suggested that since it is not extension of stay, but rather a change of status from F to S, because at that time I will be switching back from F
yeah,
to
but,
S.
But the extension will kick in, the change of status will kick in only on September, you see. Even though you have applied for a change of status now, it will kick in only in September.
Right.
This is done all the time. Remember how people are working on F-1, OPT,
right.
and then they apply
right.
for H-1. They apply for F-1 to H-1 change of status, but it kicks in only in October.
Okay. Yeah.
You see, it's done all the time. It's nothing new. I mean, there is nothing. I can't think of any lawyer who wouldn't know this. I mean, I've known some really silly people but they don't really practice law. They do it as a hobby. But anybody who's a professional, who's been in this field a year or 2 years, will be able to give you the right answer. This is not rocket science. This is fairly easy stuff.
Right. And definitely we are not subjecting ourselves to CAP because I'm never eligible for a new H1 of 6 years. I'm always counting on my current H1 and extension based on my pending labor cert.
It's the labor cert that's giving you the extension. It is not. Because unless you were physically outside USA for 1 year, your H1 is not reset. What you
correct.
Are banking upon, you're right, is your labor cert 1 year anniversary.
Exactly. I think you made my life very easy because I was hearing all different things and was getting confused.
It's a little complicated to explain, and that may be part of the reason why your lawyers would say, you know what, you're not going to be able to start working until September, so what's the point of applying in February? My feeling is if I know I'm going to start working in September, I live my life accordingly. So I want to get my H1 approved as early as possible.
Right, right. Thank you. Yes.
All right, sir. Good luck. Anybody else has any questions? All right, folks, it's been good talking with all of you. Thank you for being here, and happy holidays to all of you. Bye-bye.
Bye.